This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim in the studio this morning. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin kicked off the National COVID-19 Immunization Program by being the first in Malaysia to receive the vaccine in Putrajaya yesterday. We are still in the first phase of the program, which will involve the vaccination of frontliners from February to April. However, Malaysians are now able to sign up for the vaccine by using the My Sejahtera app. The government is targeting to vaccinate 80% of the country in order to achieve herd immunity.
Yes, a press conference that was called by KJ, Khairi Jamaluddin, yesterday, he updated us that as at yesterday, there were about 500,000 people who have already signed up for the vaccine using the app. So hopefully more will be doing so. But in order to reach a high target, one challenge that needs to be tackled is vaccine hesitancy, which refers to a delay in accepting or refusing or simply just an outright refusal of vaccines. So I think the question is, how best should the government and members of the public navigate this issue?
And in fact, we're asking you that question on Twitter right now. What do you think would be the most effective way to reduce vaccine hesitancy amongst Malaysians? 20% say influencer endorsements, 51% say community engagement, 24% say more information. Let us know what you think over on Twitter. Now, for more on this, we're speaking with Dr. Helmi Haja Maidin, Pantai Hospital Kuala Lumpur Internal Medicine Specialist and CEO of SERI, the Social and Economic Research Initiative. Dr. Helmi, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What do we know about the current baseline levels of confidence in vaccinations amongst the Malaysian public?
Hi, good morning. I would say there have been a few surveys done, and generally speaking, we are looking at approximately 3/4 of people who would receive the vaccine straight away, who would say, yes, I want to be vaccinated. And of the remaining folks, the vast majority are those who have concerns about the efficacy and perhaps more of the long-term and perhaps even short-term side effects of these vaccines. And about maybe 5 to 10% are hardcore anti-vaxxers, those who I would say no matter how much effort is put in to persuade them or education or information is shared with them, it'll be very difficult to change their minds. And that seems to be the pattern across most of these surveys.
Well, how best can we persuade the people who are sort of sitting on the fence, you know, hesitant but open enough to take the vaccine?
You mentioned your Twitter poll just now, and I think, you know, I would say the answer is actually all of the above, because different people are going to respond differently, right? It's like how you get someone to stop smoking. You use the boxes, you give education, but you get an influencer, you have the right policies in place. So similarly with vaccines, education, repetition with clarity in the messaging, I think is very important. And it's not just about information, because arguably there is too much information out there. It's more about the right information and getting it from the right sources. And when people feel that they have been listened to, when there has been engagement, when they feel their concerns have been addressed, then I think the buy-in would be higher.
Yeah, so the thing with the whole, I guess, communication element is that vaccine development is such a technical, scientific topic, and sometimes a lot of data can go over our heads. What do you think is the best way, or at least the optimum way, to deliver the right information or the best information and get the public more educated about vaccines?
I think what JKJV is doing is they're trying to simplify the messaging. So we're trying to use language that is not so jargon-filled. And it needs to be, once again, in combination with different techniques, different tactics. You have visual representations. You have people going on platforms as different as BFM, as Clubhouse, as going down to the kampung. And the other day, there was chats about how we need to engage ketua kampung, the ketua twice. And these are different ways in which we can actually go down and engage people in order to get, once again, a higher level of buy-in.
Well, you know, I just think about for myself, right? I'm just looking at what the information is out there. AstraZeneca, for example, is still not approved in the US yet, but I think I'm quite open to taking that vaccine. But the, you know, the Russian and Chinese vaccines, I may have some lower confidence about those efficacy as well as the side effects. How would you persuade people like me who, you know, who may have this kind of viewpoint?
I mean, if we have time, the question would be, why do you feel that way? Is it because of the data? Is it because of the evidence? Or is it because of some preconceived notion that a vaccine from Russia and China is not as believable as one from the United States? And That's why when it comes to dealing with the evidence faced before us, we need to be aware that there are sometimes some preconceived bias that we need to be aware of, and it might make us make a less than objective position. Now, putting all that aside, whatever vaccines that are eventually approved would have gone through a very stringent process by our colleagues at the NPRA. And these are guys who know their stuff, who know more about vaccines than you and I do. And what they would do is they would actually look at the raw data, looking at the how well things work, but also at the side effects or the adverse effects, not just in terms of the studies that have been done, but also the ongoing studies. Because we must also remember that once the vaccines have been introduced in various countries across the globe, there are some phase four studies where they look at the real world effects. So if we look at the Middle East, for example, in Israel, we're seeing how the rollout of the vaccines are leading to improvements in mortality rates, in a decrease in hospitalization rates. And that actually gives us even more evidence to share with people with regards to how well the vaccines are working.
Now, when we talk about addressing this, right, there are two groups that are often get lumped together: those who are vaccine hesitant and those who are the so-called anti-vaxxers. And many public health experts have warned that the two groups should be approached differently. What is your view on this, and how? What is your view on how we should manage the concerns of both these groups? I mean, we've covered it a little bit here through this conversation, but putting it together now.
I totally agree with you. I don't think we should just assume that just because someone is asking questions, that's a bad thing. It's with pretty much all aspects of medicine. You know, In fact, I would sometimes be a little bit worried if someone just said yes without thinking, because I would like someone to know what he or she is getting themselves into so that they actually have higher faith in the effect of any intervention. So I think it's worth engaging those who are on the fence in the middle ground. At the same time, not to be too disheartened by those who are on the extreme of the edge and who will, you know, once again, no matter what is said or done, will never budge from their opinion. The key thing is to make sure that these people do not spread misinformation and lies and be given a platform where they can unfortunately hurt and end up killing others.
So far, only about 500,000 people have registered on the My Sejahtera app for the vaccination. Of course, it's maybe still early days to say that this take-up rate seems slow. Do you think eventually we should make this vaccination mandatory?
It's always a difficult question. I personally feel that you should not force someone to take a vaccine. And once again, it goes back to that sense of autonomy and individual human right when it comes to medication and their health. So I think making it mandatory is a step too far. I think, once again, it is the job of the healthcare professionals, of our leaders, both in terms of political leadership, but also community leaders, to engage those who are hesitant, get them to understand the whys of the vaccines so that they will eventually do it. But no, I don't think it should be mandatory.
Let's wrap this conversation up with this one question here then, Helmi. We've talked about how to address education and all of that, and maybe whether it should be mandatory. But aside the education and communication strategies, what else can the government do to encourage the actual take-up of the vaccine?
I think there needs to be some degree of consistency in the messaging and the policy. And one of the things that troubles us is really the trust deficit in the state. And I think by addressing those issues, it will go a long way to increasing people's belief and trust in what we are trying to do for them.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Dr. Helmi Hajjah Maidin, internal medicine specialist at Pantai Hospital Kuala Lumpur, helping us break down the situation. We've got a poll running for you on Twitter right now. And we're asking you, what do you think would be the most effective way to reduce vaccine hesitancy among Malaysians? 21% say influenza endorsements, 48% say community engagement, and 27% say more information. 4% have said others tell us. And some of the suggestions include no quarantine when traveling. And even one person suggested pay Malaysians for vaccinations. I don't know how feasible that is. But right now we're going into a few messages. And in a little bit, Wong Xiaoning will be speaking with Dato' Lim Soo Huat of Asia File Corp on The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.